Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. Fred Monroe continues to host the program from home with continuing concerns about protecting us all from the COVID virus. Today, Fred and his guests share with us information about the upcoming Belonging 2021 event, focused on using storytelling from members of the Black community to illustrate why race and one's own history matters to all of us. Join Fred and his guests for this frank and important discussion today. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation. Call us at 805-549-8855, or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Now let's join Fred and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Great. Thank you, Brad. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being in the studio so we can do this by Zoom, and we'll hopefully be doing it face-to-face whenever we can in the very near future. As we've said before, and I'll say again, one of the goals of Central Coast Voices is to address how today's choices affect tomorrow's community, and frankly, how credible and valid information in our community helps us better understand and better connect our community. And I think today's program will illustrate that's why we're here. Belonging is back, I guess, is the way we've titled this. After the COVID challenges of hosting this event in 2020, Race Matters San Luis Obispo is once again hosting their multimedia experience entitled Belonging 2021. The event centers on Black voices and is meant to give voices to members of the San Luis Obispo County community who are of African American descent. Joining me today are Courtney Hale, Executive Director of Race Matters, Project Visionary for Race Matters Belongings 2021 series. Courtney, welcome back. You've been with us before. It's always good to have you on the program. Rocky Ross is host and curator of the reboot, Storytelling Reimagined, and Story Coach for Race Matters upcoming Belongings event. She's going to share with us and give us some idea what in the world story coaching is, because I can tell you this from the experience and just talking with her. If you tell stories and you have a coach, more people will listen. So I assure you that's a factor. And Josephina Gras, who is a participant in both the We Are Here and the Story Matters program, and she is a good storyteller. I've actually listened to one of the commentaries that she did on the Race Matters website earlier before we hosted, set this program up. We're going to discuss this upcoming event and really the collective works of these people and their organizations on ways to bring Black and people of color more into the discussion in ways that are better understood by the whole community. I thank you all for joining us today. I really do. This is one of those topics that we can probably talk about forever, and a good more portion of the population will still have no idea why we're talking about it. So I'm going to start with you, Courtney, because I realize you can explain to us why this is a valid topic and a valid event for people to pay attention to.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on again. So we're really excited about the Belonging 2021 series. And we say race matters because race continues to matter in our society and has very real material impacts. And it is a social construction, of course. Yes, race was made up, but it still matters. And so Race Matters was founded 5 years ago. Actually, we've been around for 5 years. We choose to amplify Black voices in our community in particular, because we were founded really in response to anti-Black racism, and also find it's a community that needs to be given voice, and that when we give the Black community voice, really the events and the experiences we create uplift the whole community and really bring the community together. And I'm really proud of our programming. Storytelling, I feel, has a role in racial and social justice because of the ways that it can offer windows into other people's experiences, humanize people. Also, you know, the show will be entertaining too. There's that. We like to with belonging and just with race matters work, we do try to combine it. It's a social experience. It's cultural. It's educational. And yes, there's racial justice always connected somehow. And so this year, many of our participants did have some type of role or connection to the racial justice movement. And that really happened organically as we were choosing participants. And yeah, we're really excited. Thanks again for having us on. And so race matters, stories matter, and we're excited for our event.
Yeah. The concept of stories matter is, as I tried to formulate an understanding of what your goals are with this, most of our listeners know that my day job is I'm a travel agent. And that illustration is important for me to mention today, because as people travel, they oftentimes will go to other places specifically where cultural, racial, ethnic differences exist, and they will indeed pay to go listen to stories. I mean, if you decide to go to Italy, you might hire a tour guide that's going to take you to a number of places that may involve Italian history, cultural history, things going on in Italy right now. And I would suspect that if I were to ask you if you've ever sat down with someone from an Italian origin in your local community and talked about their love for their history, the answer would probably be no. So what I'm getting at is, as a society, I believe we often go look for stories and storytellers about things that we find different in the world, and we'll go to listen to them, but we won't go to listen to them in our own backyard. And I think that creates some cultural barriers that I think what you're doing, if we can get people to come listen to your program about the experiences of a specific racial or ethnic group, we're gonna save them from having to get an airline ticket someplace else to do that. And I don't know if that kind of concept comes up, Rocky, that's probably a question for you, because you're the coach of storytellers, how you bring people into understanding the similarities of who they are as a storyteller and their background with their audience.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on this program. I would love to let your audience in on one special secret with storytelling. It's not history and it's not a lesson. What we do with performance storytelling on the stage is it's experiential. So your example about history and Italy is perfectly spot on. People who come to a Stories Matter event or to the Reboot, which is the monthly storytelling show that I host, they come to be entertained, and a well-crafted story has a message embedded in it, but the audience doesn't think, oh, that's what I'm supposed to learn, or that's my takeaway. They experience what the teller experienced, because the teller is the protagonist and the audience is like sitting on their shoulder, seeing their point of view and feeling what they feel, and they get the message without ever really having it hammered over their head. So it's not a TED talk. It's not a lesson. We never say at the end, you know, what I want you to know or I learned, because the craft of storytelling gets all that in there through the economy of words, what the storyteller says. So, if that makes sense.
So if you're talking with or coaching someone who has never shared a story in this fashion before, and it's especially important because the whole goal of Belongings 2021 is related to the African American community. For some people, it has maybe never occurred to them what they need to do to really engage somebody in that. Someone may listen to them or listen to the storyteller, but what you really need is a listener who kind of like doesn't want to let go, wants to stay and hear more. And how do you coach somebody who's new to the process?
I am so excited to be coaching the storytellers for this event. Many of them have never done performance, stage, public storytelling before, but everyone who's been on this planet more than 10 years, and that's all of them, have lived a life rich with stories. And my job is sort of like I harvest the seeds of stories. I ask individually, these are one-on-one sessions where I ask questions and I bring out experiences, and then I suggest ways to weave certain experiences together. There is a structure, not a science, but elements that make a good story and a structure to it. So, for example, Josephine can talk about the coaching experience that we did. We had a time one-on-one where we talked back and forth, and she told me lots of different ideas, and I was listening, and then I kind of suggested some structure for her, and then it's up to Joe to make it her own voice, and that's what I've done with all the tellers, except for Dr. Ruby Simpkins, who's our guest teller. She's coming up from Los Angeles. Her story's ready made.
Yeah. Josephine, you want to talk about how you got involved in this process and what working with Rocky brought to you?
Yeah, 100%. Working with Rocky, it in a way, like having me tell my story to her made me think about myself in a whole different light, because it's like, you know, I tell my story so many times, but when I told it to Rocky, I was remembering little bits and pieces of, you know, things that happened to me that made me the way I am today. It's like, you know, it's as if I was telling a story to like a friend. I just say it like very casually, but the more I was talking to her, I started noticing that I'm saying more than what I normally say to a friend. And that's what I thought storytelling is. I thought I would just get up there and I would just talk and tell my story very casually. But the more I was talking and the more I was explaining to her my story, I was all like, whoa, this is a story. Like, some stuff happened to me, and like, I think it's important and to like get my story out there, because you never know who's listening. You know, because it sounds so casual to me, but when I say it to somebody else, I'm like, you know, there's somebody else who could be going through the exact same thing. So I think working with her was very eye-opening for me, and almost, to be 100% honest, very therapeutic, because it's some stuff that, you know, I wasn't necessarily ready to talk about, but I've reached the point to where what I'm saying could help somebody else. So I'm really happy for that.
Yeah. So learning to more effectively tell your own story has affected the very story that you have.
Yeah, because I always like to put it things like this. I never took it so seriously because, like, it's me. You know, I wake up every day and I'm me. You know, I don't necessarily think about how other people view, like, how other people view me. Like, to me, I'm just telling my story. But to when I like hear my story being told to someone else, I realize how much power and how intense it is, really. But I never thought about any of that, because, like I said, it's just me.
If I could just share something, when I sit down and talk with storytellers, there's so much richness, so many stories, and the hardest job for me and us together, because it's a collaborative process, is to pick one pearl out of the many and polish that one into a form for the public stage. Because as Joe said, it's not just kind of like talking to a friend over breakfast. It is a performance. So we have a obligation to the audience too, who are coming, to present something well, a story well told. And so there is a structure to it, and that's what I kind of apply to the story that the tellers tell me, so that we have a strong hook that grabs the audience's attention or creates a knowledge gap, like they want to know what's going to happen, and we leave them hanging until the end. And then there have to be stakes, like something has to happen. A story can't just be stream of consciousness in one's head. That's great for the written page, but for a performance, they want to be involved. They want to feel what you feel. So there have to be stakes and rising tension and some kind of resolution or change or insight. The protagonist, the storyteller, is different by the ending in some way. And so we have the hook, the beats in the middle, and then what I like to call, when I teach storytelling, is the kick-ass ending, which gives people that feeling of a gestalt, or like, ah, yeah, woo, that's it, you know?
Yeah. Courtney, I guess I don't want to put words in your mouth, but having spoken with you before, my hunch is that a good portion of this project for you is not just the joy of storytelling, but it's the joy of connecting other racial communities to each other, and basically collectively looking at race matters in our community for people who have not been paying attention. So
right. And so
it's key to have both of those pieces together. And my hunch is you get a twofer.
Right. And so essentially it's there's community being created as we create the project. And so Belonging's been about 7-8 months in the making. It's been a long haul here with the photography, the video production. We have a musical celebration, and now Stories Matter on August 1st. But in the creative process, it's been a collaboration with many local creatives. And so that's been wonderful. And there's kind of a sense of belonging even when we're creating and learning about each other, like you said. And so it does allow me, and also the other creatives who worked alongside me, it was a group effort, it's like we're creating this product, and a lot of the video footage that'll live on forever, which is amazing, but there's also the experience embedded within that, and the community getting to know each other after such really an intense year and a half that many of the participants played a role in.
The process of using stories to draw people to have this discussion, if you will, to basically discuss why Black Lives Matter, to discuss why just saying, oh, race doesn't matter at all. And I'll call myself out for getting in trouble for even suggesting that one is colorblind, which I learned from the last conversation we had about a year and a half ago, is a disservice to the identity of people who are different than I am. I can't be blind to your color and pay attention to your culture without realizing that there are drastic differences. And I didn't really mean to even bring that up today, but it stuck with me now for a year and a half since you were last on the program, that a caller basically explained to me very succinctly why being colorblind was a disservice to the entire process of learning about people more thoroughly.
Right. Yeah, I do remember that. And that was a powerful moment. And again, that's another way that that these art projects and even promoting them can lead to more conversations and discovery on this topic. And I think storytelling is key too. And not just with Stories Matter, but the multimedia videos and just all the sharing, is that really just how diverse the participants are in what they represent in terms of what we think of Blackness. There's many different countries represented, different walks of life, and really they're also different the first year too. The people's experiences varied so widely, and we're not a monolithic community, although we're using that Black identifier a lot. That certainly doesn't imply a monolithic experience or even monolithic views, right? But the experiences vary widely, and that's another important aspect to really showcasing these stories. And also there can be people who are not in the same place or have the same views on social and racial justice as some of the participants, but they're going to have something in common or find something to relate to. And so that's another aspect of storytelling and representation.
There's, yeah, the great writer and public thinker Ta-Nehisi Coates has a beautiful phrase that I've shared with Courtney before, and I like to use and always give him credit, which is that stories are mirrors that let us know we're not alone, and windows that give us entry into worlds we've never known. And by creating stories around a theme, each of the events last year, the theme for the storytelling, for the Stories Matter event, was belonging. And this year it's breakout. And I tell the storytellers, we approach the theme, it's a kind of unifying thread woven throughout each of the stories, but there are so many ways to approach it. You can break out of old ways of thinking. You can break through a box that was keeping you imprisoned. You can break through somebody's stubbornness with a new idea. So there's different ways that people are represented, and we have this unifying theme through the stories that we use as a springboard to the stories, but not a constraint. So the stories can be funny, irreverent, heart-stopping, humorous, all kinds.
So with a program like this, I am assuming, and I don't mean the radio program, I mean the program you're putting on August 1st. Even though this is focused on the Black community, my hunch is an awful lot of the stories do not necessarily belong to the Black community. They belong to people who happen to be Black and have some similar life stories to share that may connect with people who are completely different than them for other reasons.
That's not a requirement. That might be a byproduct. Okay. But many of the stories are about personhood, from the person who's experiencing it. And so it is really Black voices. Mm-hmm. And without whiteness being centered, but we live in a multicultural world. So from my experience, from what I'm hearing, the stories really come from the heart of the protagonist, the person telling.
Yeah. And I agree with that, and I don't want to discount that at all. My thought is that if I listen to a story that Josephine is presenting, Josephine is a Black woman at least half my age. So the fact that her story that she's telling may be so unusual to my stereotype of who I am, but very similar to experiences I've had or challenges I've had, may do remarkable things to bring our communities together. And I don't see that as a byproduct. You know, I'm global enough to see that as probably the best blessing in the deal. Josephine, when you are presenting a story, how do you see your audience, or how would you see this old, talkative, 70-year-old white guy who has no life experiences that you may perceive are similar to yours, as a good connection for your story?
I would say, like, when I'm telling a story to an audience that I don't necessarily know, personally, I think that, you know, I always go with it. You could find a little bit of truth in anything. Like, maybe the story I'm telling doesn't necessarily, maybe you haven't been through something like that, but I could probably, like, bet money that there's been a time where you've been in a position of sorrow or grief or just any negative feeling. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people can relate to that, to negative feelings. And you may not have handled it the way I have, but that's something we share in common, is human emotion and grief. So when I'm telling a story, I'm not necessarily looking to, you know, relate to everyone in the audience, but I'm looking to tell my story. And because everyone shares human emotion, that's something that we could all relate right. to, and we could all come together and talk about. So I may not, you know, everyone in the audience may not have been through the same thing, but we've all been through the same emotional process of, you know, breaking through and just getting better.
Yeah. Very, very well said. Exactly. Very well said. And I think what's really important is there will be stories that will, as we say, rock your world. You've never experienced anything like it. But with that human emotion of empathy and understanding sorrow and joy and parenthood and personhood, you know, your humanity will feel, you know, their humanity. That's where it goes.
Exactly.
Yeah, Rocky, in the notes that you provided for us to basically do some background and construct an outline for the program, I actually underlined in such a way that I would not lose this, one of the things that you said. You said storytelling is the oxygen our society needs right now.
Oh my God.
That's probably what I will walk away with the most from this program, is that one statement, because we indeed have, you know, lived through a year and a half of some form of isolation or conflict with each other over what we do or don't feel is healthy. So the ability to share our stories becomes a way to bridge that and to reconnect with people we haven't seen for a long time. I'm going to leave it with that for right now, because we have to take a quick break. We'll be back with it, and I'd like you maybe to explore that a little further right after the break. This is Central Coast Voices. We're talking about Belonging 2021, the upcoming event that Race Matters San Luis Obispo is putting on August 1st. We will be back with you live in just a moment, and I'm going to kick it back to Brad in the studio right now. This is KCBX.
Thank you, Fred, and we'll return to Central Coast Voices in just a couple of moments. From the KCBX Community Calendar, the San Luis Obispo Botanical Garden is hosting a macrame plant hanger workshop, and that's coming August 26th. Attendees will learn basic knots and craft their own plant hangers using macrame techniques, local driftwood, and cotton rope. Sounds like the 70s all over again. All materials will be provided, including a glass vase and an air plant to display your finished piece. You can find out more and register to attend online at slowbg.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. We continue our investigation into the deaths of two babies placed in the same foster home, Joseph Chacon and Draco Ford, and we press for answers from the foster care system.
I just want an answer of how it happened, because you can't go the rest of your life not knowing how.
That's this week on Latino USA.
And Latino USA is coming next at 30 minutes at 2 o'clock here on Public Radio for the Central Coast, KCBX.
Hi, I'm Fred Friedman. Thursday evenings, I enjoy playing music for you on Jazz Liner Notes from 10 p.m. until midnight. Or you can listen anytime on demand at kcbx.org.
And thank you for tuning in today for Central Coast Voices. If you have questions or you would like to have them answered, you can send them to us at voices@kcbx.org or call them into us at 805-549-8855. Now, let's rejoin Fred Monroe and his guests. Back to you, Fred.
Great. Thank you, Brad. Thanks for handling the studio work so we can still do this by remote control when we need to. My guests today are Courtney Hale, who's the Executive Director of Race Matters, and Rocky Ross, who is the host and curator of The Reboot and a coach of storytelling. And she is one of the coaches and presenters of the Belonging event on August 1st, 2021, the year as we know is here. Sorry about that. But the event is Belongings of 2021 because it was tough to do in 20 when we were just rolling into COVID as the event was planned. Agroa, and she is a participant in both the We Are Here and the Story Matters program. She's sharing with us some of her insights on being a storyteller, and this is a wonderful process. Courtney, you want to talk about the goals of Race Matters and bringing communities more connected to basically, if we listen to each other's stories, my hunch is what we can say is we're doing a better job at paying attention to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's probably one of your goals here.
Yeah, absolutely. So ultimately, Race Matters' goal is to amplify matters of racial justice and also Black voices, including local Black voices. And we do that through artistic, cultural, social, and educational programming. Stories Matter is at Bang the Drum Brewery, Sunday, August 1st. Beautiful new location. If you haven't been there yet, open air, tons of space. We will be protecting our community as we connect together, and we'll be flexible to bend with any new recommendations that our public health situation brings. And we've been bending and flexing and pivoting for for a year now, as everyone has, especially with event planning. And our programs are important, and we're really proud of them, but we also take the responsibility seriously to protect one another as we're in this public health crisis. And so we're proud to have received, Belonging is actually funded by the city of San Luis Obispo as a result really of the protests last summer. And so I'm proud, and I find it fitting that our project uplifts Black voices, because a lot of Black voices put their bodies on the line, and we're at the forefront, especially our Black youth leaders like Josephine and many others. And the as I understand it, the DEI task force and those funds were formed and allocated in response to the outcry last summer. But that said, our programming, as you know, Fred, we had Belonging in 2020. And so Race Matters has been on this path for a while. And with the first Belonging series in 2020, really crystallized our focus of amplifying racial justice and Black voices boldly, beautifully, artistically. And so this project isn't necessarily a reaction to the protests, but I'll always be thankful for everyone who came out and put themselves out there, because one of the responses was the funding and the forming of the DEI task force. That said, a lot of other changes, to be seen. Representation isn't everything, and certainly there is a long way to go. But we certainly were allocated more resources to take what we were already doing prior to George Floyd, right? But to the next level.
Can I add a little something about the event? I'm just so excited to invite people of all backgrounds and ages to come to this event on Sunday, August 1st. It'll be a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Bang the Drum has tasty treats and nice brew and non-alcoholic beverages. And the venue truly is open air. People may be concerned about sitting inside. There is a huge garage window type of structure that will be raised, so there will be fresh air circulating. So it's half indoors, and there's an outdoor area as well. We will have a live music to enjoy, just mingling from 3 to 4, and the show, the storytelling part, starts at 4 o'clock. And audience can expect to just relax, lean into listening. No discussions are needed in that sense. It's really just absorb the experience that the storytellers have, you know, crafted and polished for the audience. It's an exchange, a creative and beautiful exchange. And we'll have lovely music as well. So maybe you want to share the Eventbrite and the ticket thing. And
yeah, absolutely. So racematterslow.org. racematterslow.org, you can hit up our website and click through to our Eventbrite to purchase tickets. $5, $7 at the door, don't wait. So we'd love to see you. Again, it's an open air venue, so plenty of space and options for folks who have different concerns. We are going to be video recording as well, and so it'll be available to be viewed later, so it's accessible to everyone out there.
So, Rocky, is there a specific explanation you give to someone who says, I've never been to a storytelling presentation, and I don't know what to expect, and I'm a little worried, is there a quiz later?
Well, like I said, you just listen and live it. It's a moment in time. These stories are... If any of the storytellers, when they tell this story that they're going to tell on Sunday, when they tell it again in a future iteration, it'll be different. So this is a one-time moment, because we craft stories, but they don't memorize them word for word. It's not a recitation. They are sharing something lived, and the audience can just sit back and enjoy and clap at the end and speak with the storytellers at the intermission. And I think, you know, Courtney talks about being present. The theme or the phrase for your campaign is "We are here," right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this show embodies. There will be 10 storytellers standing on the stage in their full personhood through their stories, saying, "We are here. Listen."
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be terrific. Josephine, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Because I have not met your daughter in person, but I've met her on the video that exists of her. How do you explain, is she six? I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
She's six. Okay. How did you explain to a six-year-old that you want her to tell stories? Because I guess when you're dealing with a child, sometimes what you want to make sure is that they don't tell stories, that they tell you what's really going on.
Yeah.
So that to differentiate that could be difficult.
Even when I tell Precious a story myself, I be sure that I make sure that I fabricate it in a way that she could understand. With the stories matter, and for the thing we did where we interviewed her and asked her questions, I just told her to speak from what she's experienced and how she feels, because, you know, she has a story too. So when I'm trying to, like, explain things to her, I'll try to not mask it, but I'll try to make it like sound happier, so it's a little bit easier for her to like break down and understand and like kind of get through that process. Like necessarily sitting her down and telling her, like, you know, like, I want you to tell this story. When I'm asking her to tell a story, I'm just asking her to, you know, speak from your heart, speak of the negative and speak of the good. And, you know, as she's speaking, that's when her story is going to fabricate.
Courtney, when you look at the larger community that you're working with, you're members of your organizations, but also the larger community you're reaching out to, what do you think storytelling does, and this particular project does, that's different and or more effective than what you've done in the past?
Wow, that's a good question. I think that we had a bigger production this year for everything, thanks to funding. So, you know, funding can matter when we're talking about art and, you know, to be frank. And so definitely I think that took it to the next level. And when you're able to have video and see people three-dimensionally and really in terms of the we are here aspect, I think that you're able to just get a sense of, like Rocky says, their personhood. And I think that it's just a beautiful project. And I hope that folks who look, I mean, we have followers who like what we do. And so, of course, we know it will appeal to, I guess you'd say, our base. But we don't always want to preach to the choir. And so hoping that certainly the public display of the street banners are viewable to everyone who walks down Higuera. And if they're curious enough to click on the nearby QR codes that are sprinkled around in places and get to our video content, then hopefully we're opening eyes and to visitors as well. I mean, this is geared towards our community members, but also to visitors and to people who might wonder what kind of community this is. And so I think it's powerful to have such a public presentation. And I think that differed from last year too. And that has to do with resources as well. And the ways that we just had to pivot. And with COVID, of course, we, from the beginning of the planning, we thought, how do we make our exhibits COVID-proof, right? And so the photography needed to be outside. We didn't know, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen this summer and that things would be more open. But luckily, they are a little bit more open. And so I think the public presentation is bold and important. Also, something that can attract backlash to people who might not want to be graded and blessed with Black voices on their downtown walks, but that's really part of, I guess, taking public art to the next level and mixing it with racial justice and social justice is that boldness and that public presentation being a part of it. And also, I think I mentioned a couple times, the project has taken a while to plan, but because we're in the summer now and can do Stories Matter, it is a blessing. And there was a time when this entire project was going to be virtual. And so, so the stars aligned in a way that we have material that will last forever. Our videos, we have accessible photography to folks who might not want to go indoors or gather at all. And then we also have this in-person aspect that people have been missing, and it's a performance and really, really a unique, as I'm sure you can tell by the way we've been discussing it, a really unique experience that'll only happen once.
I think what we're looking at is the ability to for people to do something that's new, and that may be new to them this year, and if we're all very lucky, it'll be not new to them next year, but they'll want to make sure they know where it is next time.
Absolutely.
I want to share with you a little sidebar to this from my perspective. And because this is radio, I guess I have to clarify the fact that of the four of us on the radio right now, I'm the only white guy in the room. Okay. And that's just, it's funny what we can't assume about on radio. I live in a reasonably conservative community where I've had people who basically have said before in some regard, they don't understand what Black Lives Matter is about. They don't understand what racial identity is for a factor at all. They've never listened to anybody tell, quote, black stories. I had that said to me by someone I know. And my question to him was, you know, I believe the last Trevor Noah concert at Dina Robles, you were there. So you were listening to a black voice from Africa talk about his perspective, which you found very funny and engaging. And it never occurred to you, you were listening to a black voice. I my hunch is that because as you were talking, that had not occurred to me that that conversation took place. But I think that may affect who you get as an audience, because there may be people who are interested in showing up for stories that are not necessarily thinking about this being black stories.
Right. The
engagement of stories.
Yeah, I think the event appeals, like Rocky says, to anyone who enjoys a story well told and delicious food, beer, iced tea. but certainly, like, I think it is good to expand audience and certainly to reach folks who we're not necessarily targeting, right? So maybe who wouldn't go out normally on a Sunday and say, hey, I want to hear some black story. And by the way, what is a, you know, black story? It's just a story from, as you'll see at the event, and I've mentioned before, definitely not a monolithic experience, and the experience is very, very widely, a lot of diversity within with even the small community that we have here in the community that'll be representing. But I think folks who might not, you know, who might not necessarily sign up for like a racial justice seminar or, you know, like Rocky said, a TED talk, will enjoy this. It's a social and performance event, but with substance and a unique event and, you know, not a typical Sunday fun day hanging out at a bar or whatever. Something new for slow, a little culture.
I would suggest to you that you might turn it into a Sunday fun day that people want to see all the time, which I'm going to step on that with my next question is going to be to Rocky to ask her about where you can go to listen to stories that are not necessarily this event. By the way, the list of events that you shared with us, Rocky, all happen after August 1st. So you can go to the August 1st event as your introduction to storytelling presentations. You want to share with us the other things that you do as far as coaching and presenting storytelling?
Sure. I love telling stories, and I used to be a radio host. I love hosting story shows, and I love coaching storytellers to bring new voices to the reboot stage. And the reboot is a live monthly storytelling show that takes place at Top Dog in Morro Bay, outdoors under the stars in their garden theater. The thing is, I learned storytelling only when I moved to SLO back in 2016, because I used to go to SLOleo, which for 8 years held court on third Wednesdays of the month at Linnea's on Garden Street. And I learned from some of the best storytellers there. And then I self-taught, and because I have a teacher background, I started teaching storytelling, and then I created the reboot, which ran for 3 years until COVID to a standing room only audience. And that's how I connected with Courtney, and I said, you know, let's do something together and let's lift black voices. I just want to say that this is definitely an event, August 1st, for everyone, and you should buy a ticket for that neighbor of yours and have him You know, just say, my treat. Go check it out. It's entertaining. You won't even, you know, you won't believe, because Black voices are human voices. Stories are human. And I just want to get back to that one thing about stories are the oxygen society needs right now. I coined that term during COVID, and when I did a show online called The Reboot Presents COVID Stories, because at that time our very breath was lethal, but stories could aerate the things we were experiencing and give us air to breathe. And that's what I believe this event on August 1st will do. It will bring air. Everyone can take a deep breath and experience connection. And then for the reboot, I'm doing 3 shows, and those are on 4th Fridays of the month in August, September, and October. They're free. And if you want to know more about the reboot, you can check it out on Facebook. It's The Reboot, The Dot Reboot for You.
Great. Thank you very much. As I remind our listeners who are used to it and my guests, I make a point of trying to make sure the last word comes from them and not from me. Rocky, based upon the calendar, I have to say I believe you just used your last word. But if we have some more time, I'll give you a little more time. Josephine, yes. What do you want to make sure people think about and walk away from this hour of radio doing? And that's beyond just making sure they show up August 1st. We'll do our best to make sure that happens.
I would say, you know, because like you said before, there are some people who have never even thought about, oh, like, I've never heard a story from, like, a Black individual. Like, I don't necessarily understand. And I feel like this event, if you are one of those people who aren't necessarily as informed about what's going on, the Black community, this would be, like, a really mild way to just dip your pinky toe in it. Just, like, just to kind of see what we got going on here. I feel like it's a really good way to, like, expand your horizon, because I live in the same place you do. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a bubble. And, you know, sometimes I do wonder about the other people, my neighbors around me. So I just think it's a really good way to, you know, kind of tap, you know, just to do some community work with Black Lives Matter and just kind of see what we're working with here. But on top of that, you know, we also have some amazing stories and use a really good variety of background. So it's a form of entertainment, but also look at it as a way to, like, you know, see for yourself and, like, gain some knowledge. So hopefully you guys come. I'd like to see all of you.
Okay, great. Rocky, I'll give you a little bit more time.
Oh, my. Well, everybody can learn storytelling. And if you come on August 1st or to any reboot show and you think, wow, that was cool, how'd they do that? There is a way for you to, like Josephine says, you know, dip your feet in the water, learn a new skill, or broaden your mind, and we've all got stories to tell.
Okay, thank you. Courtney, you're the lead honcho here, so you get the last word of the last word.
Oh, thank you. Tap racematterslow.org to view our We Are Here exhibit from wherever you are. You can also listen to our Rhythms in Black playlist, ad-free celebration of Black music, plenty of genres. And then, of course, we'll see you August 1st at Bang the Drum Brewery. You can get tickets on our website. And thanks again, KCBX and Fred, for having us. Doors open at 3 for the show. That's 4 to 6. We'll enjoy the community together safely. Have a wonderful afternoon, and yeah, can't wait to see y'all.
Chance, we're going to do this more than once a year?
like stories matter, or? I am so, gosh, it's so funny every time I do these multi-location, and there's this and there's that. I'm like, why did I pack so many elements, but I guess I can't help it. But we'll see what the future holds. But definitely this content is in our wheelhouse, and we're so lucky to have this relationship with Rocky now and with this storytelling medium, because it truly is unique.
Yeah. Just a quick sidebar. I had known your father, and I would say you came by this skill honestly. So thank you. I want to mention for people, because sometimes people ask us about whether or not they could find the right website, the right connection. If you go to Eventbrite, if you have an Eventbrite account and you put in Belonging 2021, I believe it will show up on a list so people can find the event that way if they can't find you some other way.
Yes. Yes. They should be able to do that.
I thank you all for joining us today. This is Central Coast Voices and has been Central Coast Voices. It's always a pleasure to do this show. I want to let you know that next week, Chris Kington Barker will be back in this chair. She's going to have guests from the Dune Center. They're going to discuss all the Dune Center has to offer and their upcoming reopening celebration to promote the conservation and restoration of the Napomo Dunes. They will discuss the Guadalupe Napomo Dunes and their status as a national natural landmark, along with the history of the center and the way in which you can appreciate and enjoy those dunes. And that's the program. Chris Kington Barker will be with you for next Thursday. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County, along with KCBX. We've appreciated being able to provide this program to you for a long, long time, and we hope to continue to do it for a lot more years. Our email address is at voices@kcbx.org. That's voices@kcbx.org. Your feedback, program suggestions, critique of what we've done here is important for us to see and hear. Please share that with us. Thank you to KCBX listeners for supporting public radio, which is how we have this venue that's available to us to work with. And to our studio engineer today, Brad Kyle. He's been with us, and we appreciate him holding down the fort. My guest today, thank you very much, are Courtney Hale, Rocky Ross, and Josephine Agroa. And it has been delightful to have you on the program, and this is a great topic. We'll see you all on August 1st. This has been Central Coast Voices.